Well, today, the Sunday after Christmas, the Feast of the Holy Family, the church asks us to look to the example of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. And we might wonder, well, okay, how are we supposed to imitate a family where one of them is God, one of them is immaculate, and the other one is one of the greatest of the saints? And we might expect to see a passage that shows just smooth times and harmony and peace. But instead, what the church gives us in the gospel today is a family crisis, right? Jesus turns up missing. He's 12 years old. He should be old enough to, you know, to stick with the group and to travel back to Nazareth with his family. But, well, anyway, we'll get to that in a second. I want to look at the other readings, and then we'll get to the gospel. Sirach, of course, talks about sort of the natural order and structure of the family and how we are called to honor our parents. And I think it's a beautiful reminder when he says, take care of your father when he is old. Grieve him not as long as he lives, even if his mind fail. Be considerate of him. I'm sure that many of us have relatives, maybe parents, who we've seen decline, even in their mind. And, you know, we must remember that, just think of how much your parents have done for you, how many times they woke up in the middle of the night to comfort you, how many times they've fed you and sheltered you and changed your diapers. And so when your parents come to that time, parents or whatever older relatives come to that time where they're in need of care, don't grudge or hesitate to care for them as best you can. St. Paul, writing to the Colossians, talks about the virtues that it takes to have a good and charitable and peaceful family life: compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. I'm sure you can think of times where family life has required much patience. Forgiving one another. Remember how much the Lord has forgiven us, and forgive one another. We used the shorter version of the reading from St. Paul today, but if you go on a couple more verses, you'll find everybody's favorite verse, which says, wives, be subordinate to your husbands. Now, don't attack me. I didn't put it in the Bible. But I think we can think a little bit about what it means. And first of all, let's consider that the husbands are very much instructed to love and be considerate to their wives. And so I think that the point that we can take from it is that each party will have times where they will want to willingly bend to what the other person needs, to look with compassion to what the other person is called to do, and to listen to what the Lord is calling them. And of course, we must understand very clearly that nobody can command you to do anything against your conscience. But when it comes to day-to-day life decisions, you know, cooperation is the key. And I think that, yes, wives and husbands should each look for the ways where I can say no to what I want and take care of the other person's needs and comfort. And so, how do we see the Holy Family dealing with a crisis? You know, maybe St. Luke doesn't tell us everything that they said or everything that went through their minds when they found that they're traveling back and Jesus is not with them. Mary, we know that she's immaculate. She didn't do anything wrong. But just imagine she must have been thinking, oh, great, I've lost the Savior. I've lost the Son of God. Maybe she thought that, you know, the angel announced to her that this was the Savior, this was the Son of God. Maybe she thought that he was just going off to do his mission at this point. When they go back and look for him, they're not bickering or blaming each other. You know, one great piece of advice that I hear for couples is that when there's a problem, when there's a disagreement, don't think of it in terms as you and I against each other, but rather you and I against the problem. And so they find Jesus, and perhaps we can see this as Jesus gently preparing them for the fact that he belongs more to his divine Father, even more so than to his human mother and his foster father, that he owes the greatest obedience. Yes, as it says here, he is obedient to his parents when he goes back with them, but he owes a higher level of obedience to God the Father himself. And so, as we try to see how we can imitate the Holy Family in our family lives, one of the greatest things that I can recommend to you is to pray together. Pray the rosary. It's been highly recommended by many saints for a long time, and it's a great means of family togetherness and holiness to pray together. Parents, your children need to see you pray. Especially, I'm going to talk to the fathers here. Your children need to see you pray. They need to see you come to church. They need to see you come to confession. I think even more, I mean, the mother's example is great, but even more so when they see the example of dad practicing, living out the faith, it's a powerful thing for the children to realize that, yes, this is important, and this is how I want to live. So families, pray together. Families, cooperate and love each other. Above all, seek God's will in your lives. Amen.